Today, all over the world, people come together moved by a game-changing moment in human history. All over the world, mostly in the morning on a Sunday, but all over the world, people come together and they stop for a huge turnaround, like a cosmic turnaround in human history. Even a small change in fortunes can bring out some positivity, can't it? Even a little change in our fortunes can bring out some positivity. Maybe today you've struggled to find a car parking space. Maybe this week you've been going off, having days out, because that's what you do in the Easter holidays, and you've gone on your journey, you've encouraged your whole family to come, and you've got there, and you've got to the place, and you can see all that it offers before you, except you can't find a blooming parking space. And your car, your loved ones start to turn on whoever's driving, and it becomes an angry place, and there's all these people driving around, and you start to lose your mind. You think to yourselves, we can't even get to the place where the fun is. And you have conversations like, we're going to have to go home, guys, kids, we can't even go to the place. And then there's this turnaround moment. You see out the corner of your eye, a space opens up. It's just a little thing, isn't it? This brings so much joy. A space opens up and you become like a parking ninja. If you've got that skill in your set, you fly in. There's no need for a reverse up. You just go flying in there. You pull the handbrake off on, take your sunglasses off, and you say to yourselves, guys, we're going to have a great day. The vibe in the car transforms on the back of a parking space. It's a total turnaround, game changer. Anybody ever lost their child? Don't put your hands up. Somebody waiting outside to take you away. Anybody ever lost their child? Has that ever happened? So I'm not asking the question. Frequently in our family, it seems to have happened. It's a horrible thing. You question your own humanity. What's wrong with us? Look at what we've been given, this human being, three human beings, and we can't even keep them safe. You start to say terrible things to yourself about yourself. And then you find out they've just gone to get an ice cream. And they come running back to you. And you have this joyous moment where you look them in the eye and you say to them, I love you so much. We're going to have so much fun together. We're going to do so many amazing things. It's a huge turnaround. Don't know how you've been getting on with winter. Whether you have a bit of seasonal disorder, whether it's bringing you down. It can drag on, can't it, winter? I looked out my garden this morning and there was just our garden's desperate. We're really trying, me and Jude. We've reached that age where it's become a joy to us and we're really trying and there's just nothing happening except for a tiny bud of spring. And it's just a tiny bud of spring, but it reminded me of hope, this hope for my garden and this summer to come. Huge, big turnaround. Cosmic turnaround. Not a little turnaround. Cosmic turnaround. I can't overstate to you how utterly crestfallen the disciples were when Jesus was led to his death and crucifixion. I can't tell you the extent to which their sorrow would have flowed out. They felt lost and completely broken. They would have had the grief that comes with losing somebody that you love and the horror of the crucifixion. But probably, I think, more than that, more than all of that, their purpose. This is somebody that they had left everything for. This is somebody that had changed their whole world around. This is somebody that they were invested in, and he was gone. And Good Friday, as we now know it, was one of the blackest days. I think that's one of the lyrics that we sang in all of human history. They were completely crestfallen. They had absolutely nothing. And then we read in the text, what happened? They were on their way, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, spices in hand, ready to spend a day with the dead. They were ready to prepare the body of Jesus for death. They were ready to spend a day in grief. They were at their lowest point. Tears would have been flowing from their eyes. And then the Bible, and I just want us to pause on Easter Sunday over this scene. I don't know if it's possible to have verse 1 upon the text. There is an awesome picture. I don't know how familiar you are with the resurrection story. There is a transformational moment in this story. At the lowest possible point, these two women, thinking they're about to find a dead Savior and just confirm all their lostness, Have you ever realized where the angel was in this story? Have you ever stopped to consider where the angel was? I don't think I have. He sat down. He sat down. If you're a busy person, you'll realize that that's the moment when you have sorted everything out. On Sundays, because I'm prepping for this stuff, I don't sit down. I can't get a minute. I'm running around. I don't sit down. I'm like wanting to get everything right. When I get home, I collapse and I sit down because everything is done and everything's in order. There's a real incredible picture of this angel who is sat down. The way the text unfolds with the line, especially with the line, just as he said, it's like everything has come together. I'm probably pushing it too far, but I almost get the impression this bit's not too far. The angel comes along and he pushes the stone back. And I don't know how all this unfolds. Hope my imagination doesn't wander too far. But at least as the text read, he just pops himself up there on this stone and Jesus exits. And then he waits and Jesus leaves. I don't know what the exchange with the angel was. We don't get to know. And Jesus exits death. And the biggest turnaround in human history begins. The angel just sits there and he waits for the witnesses to arrive. And Mary and the other Mary turns around. Everything at this point in human history had changed. We've gone from the lowest point ever that I can fathom. Grief that you can't comprehend, lostness that you can't comprehend, for humanity, not just for these disciples and these women. And we go to a point, I would suggest, that gives us so much momentum, it will never stop. They were expecting to spend a day with the dead, and they ended up at the feet of a living Savior. It changed everything. What a turnaround. The disciples that fled, terrified, grew strength and they stayed put. The disciples that couldn't get words out, that denied Jesus, found strength and found words in his resurrection, were able to articulate themselves, were able to defend their cause. The movement that should have been snuffed out against all odds, under all persecution, set on fire. And love and joy and truth and hope just exploded out of that tomb. And the momentum of that truth, that story, that reality can't be contained. Even now. Even now, the biggest skeptics will turn and find Jesus Christ. Even now, sleepy Christians will be awoken by the truth of the resurrection. Even today, people across our nation will turn again to Christ, and this will mean something to them. And it won't stop. It's an explosion. The biggest turnaround in human history. I just want to tell you about three things on Easter Sunday that the angel says that will help us keep facing the right way. Three things that the angel says, like three really simple truths for you to take home and unpack. The first thing that the angel says, you can see perhaps as we go through, verse 5. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. Do you know what the biggest, most repeated command in the Bible is? Don't murder. Don't fight. Don't squabble. Don't be afraid. The Bible tells us more than it tells us anything else not to be afraid. Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Isaiah 41:10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." Some of you will know some of these verses. "I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Philippians 4:6 and 7, "Don't be anxious." This is a verse that comes back to me over and over again because I'm telling you all not to be afraid. And it's a thing for me. Worry and anxiety comes and goes. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Do not be afraid. And our responses to that, I think, should be, are mixed. Really? God, can you tell us not to be afraid? There's loads of scary things happening in our world. There's so much scary stuff happening in our world. Anxiety is clearly an issue for human beings. How are we not supposed to be afraid? And the answer's beautifully in the text. The angel gives us the answer. Don't know if you've ever tried to check your fear with this remedy, the remedy that the angel gives. Notice that not everybody is cleansed from fear. The guards are terrified. They limp. They're lame with fear. But these two women have got reason to have that fear put in check. This is what the angel says. This is the remedy. Don't be afraid. One, because you're looking for Jesus. Don't be afraid. You're looking for Jesus. And this is the critical part with fear. He's still at work. He's still busy. He's not in the grave, deceased and dead. He's still active. He's still changing things. He's still making a difference. Check your fear. Are you looking for Jesus? He's not finished. All the verses that we read in that text tell us there's no fear, not just because there's no fear, but there's no fear when God is with us. And the resurrection of Christ tells us that God is always with us. Check your fear. Maybe think to yourself, I'm scared I'm going to ruin it all again. I'm scared life's going to get on top of me. I'm scared I'm going to backtrack. I'm scared I'm going to mess up this relationship. I'm scared I'm going to mess up this thing. I'm scared I'm going to ruin it all again. It just haunts me, this fear. He's not finished. He's still with us. I'm scared to put the news on. I'm scared to look anymore at how chaotic this world is. It's just scaring me. I'm going to stop watching it. I'm going to stop thinking about all the rubbish that's going on. I'm scared. It feels like it's out of control. It feels like we've got no control of it whatsoever. He's not finished. He's still at work. He's still with us. Maybe you say, I'm just like me. Sometimes I'm just scared. It's just in my nature. It feels like there's no remedy for it. I'm kind of certain that it's going to be part of my story throughout my life. It's going to come and go. And I can tell you, as I can tell myself, he's not finished. He's still here. That's the first thing the angel says. Don't be afraid. But it doesn't end there, because it's a turnaround moment. It's not just don't be afraid. And I think it's really important just to stop at this point, because often, or sometimes, and it's certainly been my story of faith for a few years, that we find God and we stay just the right side of saved. We stay just that side of not going to hell. We stay just not afraid. We just stay in this spot. We go back to church, we get a bit of a buzz. And we're kept in this place. And that is not where the story ends. The angel says to all of us, to me for probably a good few years in my 20s when I was just probably going through the motions, just staying this side of scared. He's not there. Staying just this side of sin. Keeping death at bay. The angel looks at these two women, still with spices in hand, still thinking about death, still in this spot, and he says to them, he's not there. Don't stay there. Don't stay in that space. He's risen. Jesus has gone outside and he's taken in the morning air. Jesus has gone outside and his heart is beating. Jesus has broken death. Everything that he said that you believed in and invested in is true. Everything has changed. The hope that you thought had gone is there in its fullest form. The purpose that you thought you'd lost is absolutely real. There is a way to live that counts. There is a world that God has clearly made that is going to be redeemed, that you can enjoy in a different way. Everything you do matters. The angel says to these two women, don't just scrape through this moment. That is not the life that we are called to. That is not the life before us. He says he's alive. And there is life out there for us. Our words matter. Our actions matter. Our relationships matter. We know that we are planned. We know that we are loved. There is a life that is full out there for us. I don't know if that's your perspective on Christianity. Maybe you think that coming to faith would mean that you drop all the fun stuff. Jesus comes and he says, I've come not so you drop all the fun stuff, but that so that you have life and that you have it in its fullest sense. So that it's glorious. So that you're not kept in fear. Changes everything. I think the little warning we get from the angel is, the little warning I've got, the little remedy for me this week was don't stay just that side of scared. The resurrection story is a story that moves us away from that. It pulls us away from that. The Apostle Paul says something really weird. He says, I want to know about his death. Not in a morbid fashion. I want to know about his death so I can know the power of his resurrection. If I know the power of his resurrection, then I'm going to live in a different way than I've ever lived before. So the angel says to us, don't be afraid. Look to Jesus. And he says, don't stay near that tomb. You've got no business near that tomb. Don't stay just this side of fear. Live. We're called to live. The last thing he tells them to do, verse 7 through to 10, is to go. Our God is ascending, moving God. Faith is a changing, living experience. Verse 7 through 10 says, go quickly. Tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him. Now I've told you. So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, so just see how this story unfolds. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he says. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them again, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go into Galilee, and there they'll meet me. Jesus, God, speaks to people of faith. He interrupts their lives, just this side of scared, just this side of going through the motions. And he says, live. And he says, go. Go tell. Go be. Go do. One of the really interesting things, I think, with Jesus is who he sends out first. That famous phrase, isn't it, that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. I don't think I can grasp exactly what that means, but often with Jesus, it's unlikely people that you would think last, that he actually sends. First person into heaven, as far as we can understand it, was the thief. First person bringing him legal defense, just a simple fisherman. First missionary to Europe, was a murderer. First witness of his resurrection anywhere in the world is Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. I don't think Mary Magdalene, don't know what you know about Mary Magdalene, I don't think she saw that on her cards at all. And yet, God calls her first. Don't know if you think there's some sort of pecking order to how Christianity works. In terms of what God's going to get you to do, I don't know if you look up and think, well, he's going to get all those people to do the things first. Often with God, it's not like that. Often it's us, it's me, it's you, it's ordinary people that God calls. Don't be surprised if God asks you to do something amazing. Don't be surprised if God moves in your heart and asks you to change. God is at work to move us, to change us, to speak out, to grow in our faith, to move on. Often we resist. There's a lovely encouragement in this text as we finish. about the way that God works, about the way that faith works, about the way that Jesus works. Did you notice the angel says, I want you to go somewhere. I want you to go out, go back to Galilee. But he doesn't just leave it there. It's not blind faith. Who's going to be there when they get there? Who goes in front of them? Jesus. He's always in front of us. Jesus always goes before us. Whatever God is calling us to, whatever challenge is before us in this moment, God has gone there first. Whatever change in your life he's called you to, God has gone there first. Whatever huge temptation that you're going through, God has gone there first. If it's learning that you need to be humble, God has gone there first. If it's coping with loneliness, God has gone there first. If it's witnessing to your friends, God has gone there first. Whatever that thing is that you feel challenged in terms of your faith journey, in terms of this wrestle, in terms of this direction that God's taken you in, you can be sure that God has gone there first. That is the story in many respects of the cross and the resurrection. Whatever we say about our troubles, whatever we say about this journey that we're on, God looks at us and he says, look, see, you're not going there blindly. So if you go back to work on Monday and you're challenged, I think I want to be a better Christian, I want to get involved, I want to talk to people, God is there already. I want to change my steps into this week. Temptation's blowing my mind. Can't cope with it. God goes before you already. Back in the day, and this revelation has come from watching a few cracking old films on Netflix about the old royal family and all that kind of stuff, about our older kings. And this is not true of all of them, and it's kings and queens. Back in the day, in battle, they used to be at the front. Not all the time. Some of these, if you read all the legends about Boadicea and King Henry and some of these other people, they were at the front. Not necessarily true of all of our leaders at the moment, is it? Is that a bit scathing? They're a bit nearer the back. Would you follow a king who was at the front? The story of faith, the story of our salvation, story of this church, story of my faith, is that I don't take a single step without knowing that my Savior hasn't walked there before me. Whatever difficulty I'm facing, whatever struggle, whatever trial, Jesus has been there first. Don't be afraid. Don't just not be afraid, live. Because that's what the resurrection means. And know in your living that God is right there with you. In fact, he's before you. Easter is God's call to all of humanity to turn around. You might, I don't know how much that message will resonate across the globe. Resonates for me. I think it's what the world needs to do. Easter is God's call for humanity to turn around. Easter is your hope to change. Wherever you're at, wherever you're stuck with, Easter is your hope to change. And it's true to say that Easter is life and death.